cannot deny that the Holy Spirit is at work here today. The song that they just sang, Obey the Spirit of the Lord. And so that's what I'm going to try to do. I am going away from the 1 Corinthians passage I had for you. And I'd like to ask you to join me in John chapter 14. As I was in prayer just now and looking out across the congregation, in my mind I can see, and I'll try not to point anybody out or embarrass you because I don't want to draw any undue attention that's not necessary, but I can see huge signs over your heads. I have one down front that hadn't stopped crying since she's been in the room. There's a lot going on in this congregation. A lot of people in need. A lot of people hurting. A lot of people with questions. Some have had questions and those questions have been answered. And so I felt the Spirit just say, you know, today's not the day to talk about sanctifying your husband in marriage. That would be muting the Spirit, I believe, in this time. I have a brother who is on vacation and has come from his pulpit here to enjoy time with us, and so I don't take those times lightly either, because pastors are drawn to other worship services for particular reasons, particular events. And when that happens, we ourselves are not aware of it until the message is through and we go, oh, thank you, Lord. I've done that too many times. And so there's something here for you, I pray, brother. But we are a people who are struggling. We are a people who have many things in front of us. And as I said, I could go down the aisle and I could start out with your particular story. And they're so different for every one of us. But the common denominator is, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And we are. We have a family over here who is facing a significant surgery this week. We have families here who are newly wed and have a child coming into the world. And the complexities of putting all that together in a new family, that's hard. We have two children here whose mom is going under that significant surgery. We have deacons who are being called who've never held that office before. We have loved ones whose marriages are not good. We have issues with our parents. We have issues with our children. I could go down the list. So what I'd like to try to do is bring the word of the Lord to you and apply it to you, with you. But I'll save the specifics of your case to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to bring it to you exactly the way you need to hear it. Because I said it is not my intention to embarrass any of you, but I know your stories. And so I'll try to get close. And as Steve Stewart says, step on my toe without really hurting me. John chapter 14. The disciples are distraught. Jesus has been talking about this deaf thing that's before him. He's been trying to get them up to speed with who he is, what he represents, who they are, and what's before them. Okay? That same message is for us. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And in the messages that he has for us in the Holy Scriptures, he time and time and time again tries to get us to understand who he is, what his call is, and then to comfort us so that we know who he is, and more or as much, what's before us. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Now remember, these are men who have been raised in the Old Testament context, the synagogue, the Old Testament worship. When you brought the name God, Yahweh, Jehovah, you brought that to them, they would not say it out of respect for the name, but they understood the language of God And yet here is this man before them who calls himself Jesus, who calls himself God, and he's trying to get them to trust and rely in him just as they had done previously in the Lord God. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I. People, hear this clearly. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Whatever is presently before you, whatever challenge you face, whatever reward you're reaping, never let it get outside the context of Jesus Christ and Him being the singular way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. We're all pretty smart people. We're all ambitious in one way or another. We are raised in a world that teaches us to go out and be ambitious, be strong, be all you can be. We are taught the American way is to lace up your bootstraps, stop complaining, get on your way, and fight for what is yours. Well, I believe sometimes the American way gets in the way of the gospel. Because my boots aren't high enough, my strings won't get tight enough, and I can't get tough enough to fight my way toward what God has before me. But I do have to have the wisdom to let go and be smart enough to say, Jesus, I am yours. I want to know your way. I want to know your truth. And I want to be wrapped up in your life. Nothing else. Continuing. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him. Excuse me. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father that, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. And people listen closely. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. There is a lot of abuse circling that verse 14. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. There are those who believe that you simply proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and it is much like this name it and claim it gospel, that if I've mentioned the name of Jesus Christ, it better be as I ask. Well, as much as anything, that's showing a great ignorance. Because there's several verses ahead of this that builds up to that place of verse 14. Now, back to you. As each of you sit here and face the challenge that's before you, the environment, the dynamic that's before you, please believe entirely and truthfully in that verse 14. Believe it completely. Believe it fully that you can ask for anything in the name of Jesus Christ and He will do it, because doing that in Jesus' name brings glory to Him. It empowers His name. And that, in turn, brings glory to the Father. And in this passage, that is really all Jesus is after, is doing the work that God had sent Him to do, relay the message of God the Father to the people, and then that acknowledgement back to Him, through Him, to the Father, and the Father be glorified. And if the Father receives all the glory, then Jesus is a happy man. So I tell you again, with all of your heart, hold on to that promise that is given to us in verse 14. But now, look at the foundation which brings us to that verse 14. First of all, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. A little test here. First, faith. Truly, what is your faith based on or in? What is the groundwork of your faith? What are the tenets of your faith? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, and do you believe in doing a good job and calling? Is your faith a conjunction? I believe in Jesus, but I also believe that we have to work hard, do good, we have to be about that, and we have to do our part. Well, there's a certain idea of that that is true. I think of Nehemiah as he was building the wall. He had a sword in one hand, bricks in the other, and praying the whole time. So yes, there are times when there is work in the faith. But I don't dare stand on the same groundwork as Nehemiah, because so many times our faith is small in the name of Jesus Christ, and it is greater in the things that I might could pull around me. My faith is stronger in my own wisdom. God has raised me. I'm a smart man. I can do these things. I've got a good head on my shoulders. I can do this. Well, I appreciate your wisdom, but where is Jesus in that formula? Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, singular. Especially for us men, that is challenging, because we are raised to be strong. We are raised to be men of character. We are raised to protect and to guard our family. We are raised to work hard. We are raised to go out and make a living. And many of us believe supplying a good living for my family is the best thing I can do for them. Probably not. Spending time in prayer with your children knee to knee is probably the best thing you'll ever do for them. But faith. Jesus says, whoever has faith and is doing what I have been doing. What did Jesus Christ do? What did He do while He was here? What did He do while He was walking this earth? He walked about the land teaching, preaching, praying, healing, consoling, disciplining, speaking the Word of God, living within the confines of that which pleased God, which pleased the Father. As you walk through your day, do you stop midstream and say, now I wonder if that pleased the Father? We're not geared that way. But Jesus says, you do what I've been doing. Okay? If you're going to pray that Jesus answer your prayers and give you what He's said He would give you in His name, the first question must be asked, are you involved in the things of which He would lend His name to? Then He says this is astounding. He will do greater even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. To do greater things than the disciples have done. To do greater things than the disciples have done. I don't know about greater, but I've seen some wonderfully magnificent things happen to the people in this church in my 10 years here. I have seen you grow in your faith oh so tremendously. To hear words, as I repeated from Jessica, means that somewhere she has been taught and she knows to live to that faith. Now, I'm not preaching Jessica by any means, but I've heard the same come from some of you. When we've had opportunity to be challenged to the greatest degree, and we've ran to the church and said, please help me. And then you see the life grow. And you see the testimony grow and the witness grow. And you see God's blessing just being poured out in so many ways. And then people come along and question that, and you go, are you blind to what God is doing in this church? A man is praying and digging through the things which God has laid before him. He gives me the call and says, what am I supposed to do with this? And I told him, nothing. Nothing. Because God's not finished showing, revealing, loving, and teaching. And he asked the same question I asked. I want to know what it's going to look like at the end. I remember asking Bob Hovey that about being a preacher. I want to know what it looks like at the end. He said, no, you don't. Because you couldn't handle it. And he was right. So I tell you the same thing, brother. Keep digging. Faith, strength in Jesus Christ, it is so simple in words, yet so difficult in doing, because we won't get out of the way. We try to do it in our own wisdom. So folks, my words of encouragement here are simply this. Jesus Christ singularly is the way, the truth, and the life. If we work outside of that, then we will fail. It's that simple. We should teach our spouses that, expect that from our spouses. We should teach our children that, expect that from our children. We in the church should be teaching each other that and expect that from each other. And folks, when we follow the way that is Jesus Christ and that which he has given us, the battles will grow tougher. The hills will get higher. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this gets easy. No, it gets tougher. But you grow more assured. Because you see Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit defeating the enemies, defeating the battles, holding you up in the midst of the storms and go, all right, I can face the next one. Remember this also. You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll give it to you. You pray for Jessica in the name of Jesus Christ and she'll be fine. You pray for the resolution of your issue in Jesus' name and you'll find it. We pray for the heartaches that are before us in Jesus' name and it will be resolved in his way, in his time. And we have the strength and courage to hold on. Folks, if I've learned nothing else, I've learned that when I stray away from the name of Jesus Christ, it gets very complicated. But when I take the time to return and concentrate on the simplicity of his name and of his way and of his teaching, then I in my heart can say and hear, just as Jesus said to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, and ask anything you desire in my name. Gracious Father, I thank you for the work of the Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would go out into these people, into us all, and take those disjointed, broken words and make sense of them for everyone's soul here that has great need. Lead them through the steps that are necessary. Teach us the depths of our faith so that we can hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Father, these people here are in need of your tremendous loving hand. I pray that you would be good to them, that you would bless them. As I've said, I've grown to love these so, so very much. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.